are going to take our scripture reading from Acts 8. It's quite a few verses. I'm going to skip a few. It's verses 1 to 5, then 14, 20 to 23, and then a bit later on we will read from 26 to 40. The first part, just to give us an introduction to a guy named Philip. And then 26 to 40, it's a more familiar part of the encounter between Philip and the Ethiopian. So let's start off with verses 1 to 5. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. This is the guy that would become Paul later on. Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. And when Philip came to Samaria, he started preaching the gospel in Samaria. And one of the people that came to Christ after Philip preached the gospel in Samaria was a sorcerer named Simon. And right off the bat, we think, whoa, Philip, that is some excellent work. Well done, good and faithful servant. Having a sorcerer come to Christ. And a lot of people came to Christ because of Philip's preaching in Samaria. But then, just a little bit later, the apostles came down from Jerusalem for a visit to Samaria. And then it was a different story. These people that Philip led to Christ in Samaria are thoroughly reprimanded by the apostles. And it seems to us that Philip was not that good of a witness or that good of a missionary to these people in Samaria after all. So let's continue the reading, picking up from verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. Now, this is the people that came to Christ because of the preaching of Philip. Verse 20 to 23, Peter answered, "May your money perish with them." Now, this is one of the apostles speaking to these people, to these new Christians in Samaria. "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that He may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." The person Peter is addressing here is that sorcerer that came to Christ. The sorcerer that Philip discipled and told about Jesus. So let's talk about Philip. Philip was not one of the original 12 apostles. But at least he is one of a group of people called to service in this new church movement. He was very responsible. He was spirit-filled. And we find this account in Acts chapter 6. And this is the first time we read about this guy called Philip. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them, which is the people outside of Jerusalem, among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, now the 12 is the 12 apostles. The 12 gathered all the disciples, all the new followers of Jesus. Together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Stephen that got stoned then, not long after. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So essentially, the apostles gathered all the followers of Christ and told them, "Hey guys, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God. It wouldn't be right for us to neglect our preaching and telling people about Jesus." Because remember, it was spreading rapidly at the start in Acts. So it wouldn't be right for us to neglect our preaching schedule to tend to the physical needs of our community. We just have too much on our plate. Our community of believers are just growing too fast. So let's get somebody else to do that. And then we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So it seems like the 12 apostles had the high profile job. It seems like they were considered to be more important. They needed to preach the gospel, while Philip and the others needed to tend to the needs of the people who then reacted to this gospel, who came into the fold, because they were spirit-filled and wise Christians and responsible. But they weren't as prominent, not prominent enough to preach the gospel to all these people. That was the job for the apostles. So it seems like Philip is being relegated to a somewhat lesser position in the early church. So he's not one of the important ones. So, already not one of the 12. Not part of the important ones. And then we read in scripture about the start of heavy persecutions amongst the church in Jerusalem. Stephen got stoned. And it was a brutal death. I don't know if you know how it happened. They would dig a hole in the ground, put somebody in the ground, only the head would stick out. So they cannot get the stones away from the face. It was just a face and people would start stoning them. So Stephen got stoned and all the Christians got persecuted. And as a result, all the believers, except for the apostles, have been scattered all over Judea and Samaria. The apostles were the courageous ones. They stayed behind in Jerusalem to preach the gospel. They were not scared. They have seen Christ risen and ascending into heaven. They have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. So they stayed. They were brave. Nothing could stop them. Nothing could scare them. They were the courageous ones. The rest of the newer believers were not. They were scattered. And when Jerusalem became too hot, they got out of the kitchen. I guess it would have been quite a better story to tell your children. I stayed put in Jerusalem. I was not scared to be tortured for my faith in Christ. I went nowhere. I just stayed there and I kept on proclaiming the gospel. That's a nice story to tell your children and grandchildren. But most of them couldn't tell that story because they ran. And Philip was one of those that ran. He wasn't one of the brave ones. He got out of Jerusalem. But then, we shouldn't sell Philip too short. At least, while running away, he did spread the gospel. Wherever he came, he did witness about Christ. And we read in scripture, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. So finally, Philip started to stand out, started to find some prominence. necessarily for the right reasons. So while he was witnessing in his flight, he wasn't considered to be one of the best witnesses. Because one of the people Philip led to the Lord was a sorcerer, a big heathen, a big sinner. A sorcerer is probably as big a heathen as they come. So he leads one of these guys to follow Jesus. And Philip probably thought, finally, I can also do these great things for Jesus. Like the apostles. They preach and people start following Jesus. I did it, and even a sorcerer started following Jesus. But then the important guys, the apostles, came from Jerusalem for a visit. Specifically Peter, the leader of the church, and John, known in the Gospels as the beloved apostle. They came for a visit. And when they came down for a visit, they didn't come and tell Philip, "Oh, what a boy, Philip. What a great job you have done here in Samaria, preaching the gospel to these people." They didn't come to tell Philip, "Well done, Philip. We've decided to make you an apostle. We'll be 13 from now on." Nope. These people that Philip led to the Lord, the people that he taught and discipled, they get reprimanded and scolded by the apostles when they came down for the visit. And I can imagine Philip experiencing great disappointment, thinking to himself, "Oh my, I tried to teach these people about Jesus, but it was all in vain. I was a lousy spiritual leader to them. And now that the apostles are here, now that they came down from Jerusalem for a visit, I have to endure the humiliation of them setting these people straight, of them explaining the gospel to these people as it should actually be. Apostles to the rescue, yay." So it seems like Philip was not that good spiritual leader after all. So this is the Philip we get to know in the first part of Acts 8. Unimportant, cowardly, running away from Jerusalem, an unsuccessful witness with a tainted reputation amongst the apostles. Now, as I said, this is the Philip we meet in the first part of Acts 8. And we need to have some background about Philip before reading about his encounter with the Ethiopian later in Acts 8. So, let's read about that encounter in the latter part of Acts 8, verses 26 to 40. Now, this is the more familiar passage with the story of Philip and the eunuch from Ethiopia. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to the chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? for his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. The first church historian that we know of was a man by the name of Eusebius of Caesarea. And he wrote a book called Ecclesiastical History. And in this book, he wrote of how this eunuch returned to take the Christian teachings into his native land shortly after the resurrection. And prior to the arrival of the apostle Matthew. Before the important apostles arrived. Now, Matthew did go and preach the gospel in Ethiopia, but before Matthew got there, this eunuch took the message of the gospel into Ethiopia. The eunuch was the carrier of the gospel into Ethiopia. The same eunuch discipled and baptized by Philip. So fast forward to 330 AD, when the Ethiopian king Ezana embraced Christianity for himself and decreed it for his kingdom as the national religion. At that time, his nation had already constituted a large number of Christians. In another book called Abyssinian Christianity, The First Christian Nation, the authors Portela and Voldegraber wrote that Ethiopia was the first country or kingdom that instated Christianity as their national and official religion. Ethiopia became the first official Christian country in the world, even before the Roman Empire did. And Philip had a tremendous influence in this. Philip, the unimportant, cowardly, unsuccessful witness, the guy with the tainted reputation amongst the apostles, he set the wheels in motion for the first country to become a Christian nation. Because Philip still had a calling to be a witness for Christ, regardless of his shortcomings, regardless of his unimportance. And he had a calling to still spread the gospel, especially where the prominent people were not ministering. There at the desert road, which wasn't a very busy road. The original Greek text says the deserted road. So definitely not the place where you would find the most prominent preachers of the time. Not the place you would find Peter starting to proclaim the gospel if nobody's traversing that road. Those guys would be where the crowds are. But this was where the Lord used Philip with great influence. You see, God does not exclusively use important people, high profile people, as partners to spread his kingdom here on earth. Somehow, as Christians, we have subscribed to the idea that God works better and more fruitful through huge ministries. We've subscribed to the idea that people would be better discipled and served by big congregations in big cities. And maybe some of us have done this as well. But God doesn't only use big, prominent city churches to build His kingdom. If we believe God when He says He has a purpose for every one of His children, and we find ourselves through His providence in rural Southwest Ontario, in a small town called Wingham, we'd better believe that we being part of this particular congregation is part of that godly plan. But then, only if we believe God when He says He has a purpose for every one of His children. Only then can we believe that as part of this particular congregation, we are part of God's plan. And in those moments when we find ourselves wondering, what difference can a small church in a small town make? Remember Philip. Someone that, when measured by the wrong standards, seemed insignificant. He was stuck in a very insignificant place. And yet God used him to create the first Christian nation. That sure is huge. That sure is huge. And for sure, we cannot foresee where the road leads for those people who we minister to. We don't know where they will end up. You don't know if you have got grandkids. You don't know where your grandkids will end up one day. You don't know. But start influencing them. If you've got kids, you don't know where they will end up. Start influencing them. You don't know if any one of them might go to seminary when they are adults. If they might set up a Bible college to come and preach somewhere in the church. You don't know. You don't know if they'll become part of an organization while doing their normal daytime job of being an accountant, become part of an organization that brings hope to millions of people. You don't know that. You don't know that. You probably have heard about 6 degrees of separation. Now, that's the idea that all people are 6 or fewer social connections away from each other. You can connect yourself to any person on earth within 6 social connections. And as a result, a chain of a friend of a friend statements can be made to connect any 2 people in a maximum of 6 steps. Go and try that. So just because people may think St. Andrew's is not a big church and Wingham is an insignificant town, doesn't mean we have to be an insignificant church. It can and should be a congregation with great influence. And it's not just possible, it should be probable. How many people a day do you encounter? Say you are introverted. As an introvert, how many people a day do you encounter? Still quite a few, hey? Imagine influencing every one of them. Imagine influencing only one of them once a week. You don't know where they are going to next. You don't know. So, we shouldn't be a congregation. It's not that we just should be a congregation with great influence. It's quite probable that we can be a congregation with great influence. Look at Philip. An unimportant, cowardly, seemingly unsuccessful witness. With a tainted reputation amongst the apostles. And he effectively led a whole nation to Jesus. We cannot afford to be part of an insignificant church. Philip, seemingly insignificant, ended quite significant. When you feel insignificant, just think of Philip. That's the way